Our New Testament reading today comes from Acts 2, 36 through 41. Listen to the word of the Lord. Therefore, let the entire house of Israel know with certainty that God has made him both Lord and Messiah, this Jesus whom you crucified. Now, when they heard this, they were cut to the heart and said to Peter and to other apostles, Brothers, what should we do? And Peter said to them, Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, so that your sins may be forgiven, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. For the promise is for you, for your children, and for all who are far away, everyone whom the Lord our God calls to him. And he testified with many other arguments and exhorted them, saying, Save yourselves from this corrupt generation. So those who welcomed his message were baptized, and that day about 3,000 people were added. This is the word of the Lord.
The gospel reading today comes from the Gospel of Luke, chapter 24, verses 13 through 35. Sit back and relax. I have a story to read to you. It's one of my all-time favorite stories for a lot of different reasons. Hear the word of the Lord. Now, on that same day, two of them were going to a village called Emmaus, about 7 miles from Jerusalem, and talking with each other about all these things that had happened. While they were talking and discussing, Jesus himself came near and went with them, but their eyes were kept from recognizing him. And he said to them, What are you discussing with each other while you walk along? They stood still, looking sad. And then one of them said, whose name was Cleopas, answered him, Are you the only stranger in Jerusalem who does not know the things that have taken place in these days? He asked them, What things? And they replied, The things about Jesus of Nazareth, who was a prophet, mighty in deed and word before God and all the people, and how our chief priests and leaders handed him over to be condemned to death and crucified him. But we had hoped that he was the one to redeem Israel. Yes, and besides all this, it is now the third day since these things took place. Moreover, some women of our group astounded us. They were at the tomb early this morning, and when they did not find his body there, they came back and they told us that they had indeed seen a vision of an angel who had said that he was alive. Some of those who were with us went to the tomb and found it just as the women said, but they did not see him. And then he said to them, Oh, how foolish you are, and how slow of heart to believe all the prophets have declared. Was it not necessary that the Messiah should suffer these things and then enter into his glory? And then, beginning with Moses and the prophets, he interpreted to them the things about himself in all the scriptures. As they came near the village to which they were going, he walked ahead as if he were going on. But they urged him strongly, saying, Stay with us, because it's almost evening and the day is now nearly over. So he went in to stay with them. And when he was at table with them, he took bread, blessed and broke it, and gave it to them. And then their eyes were opened, and they recognized him, and he vanished from their sight. And they said to each other, Were not our hearts burning within us while he was talking to us on the road, while he was opening the scriptures to us? That same hour, they got up and returned to Jerusalem, and they found the 11 and their companions gathered together, And they were saying, "The Lord has risen indeed, and he has appeared to Simon." Then they told what had happened on the road and how he had been made known to them in the breaking of the bread. This is the word of the Lord. Man, I love this story. I love this story for a lot of different reasons. I love this story because years and years ago, before I went to seminary, I was invited to go on a walk to Emmaus. Now, the person who told me about the walk to Emmaus just said, "We want you to go on the walk to Emmaus." And so I was assuming it was going to be a walk, you know, the walk to Emmaus. I didn't quite understand. And when I asked questions, they didn't really answer them. And they would say things like, "You'll see. Just trust us. Just trust us." Now, the person invited me was a person who I truly did trust. And I went on this walk to Emmaus. It was almost 4 days. I got there on Thursday and Friday and Saturday and Sunday, and I went home Sunday afternoon. During that time, there were about 30 to 40 of us who had never, ever been on a walk to Emmaus. And we learned and we discussed. We sang songs and we laughed a lot and we cried and we prayed. And this scripture was read every single day. There are parts of it that stand out to me. Their eyes were kept from recognizing him. Was it not necessary the Messiah should suffer these things before he entered into his glory? When he was at table, he broke bread, blessed and broke it, and he gave it to him. And then their eyes were opened. They knew everything. They knew who this person was, that it was Jesus who was crucified and now was among them. It's incredible. It's the story of salvation. It's the story that God has created for us, that God planned for us, so that we could learn and we could be. And we could especially understand our relationship with God a little bit better. Now, when you came to the end of your walk to Emmaus, they would say, "Now be careful. You don't want to tell everything that's happened to you because you might want to invite somebody to come on our next walk. And you don't want them to know everything right away because we need to be surprised. We need to be surprised by joy. Sometimes we need to be surprised by sorrow. We need to be surprised by how we react. It's the way God created us." And so for years, I served on Emmaus teams. Sometimes I was a table leader. Sometimes I was a person that stayed in the background and did all the little things that needed to be done. And then I discovered Chrysalis, which is the teenage version of Emmaus. And I got to be on many, many teams where we had 20 to 30 young people who were just trying to figure out their faith. And we gave them the same experience, that for 4 days, they were away from their normal routine. They were with people that they probably knew a few people there, but they didn't know everyone. And they got to hear this story broken down. They got to hear how people reacted to the story, and then they got to react to the story on those 4 days, the walk to Emmaus. I tell you, 3 years ago, when this was our pericope, we studied it, because I always will. Even if I said to you exactly the same thing then that I'm saying to you now, we need to remember. And when I look in my Bible and I look at this scripture, the peace that sticks out to me today, is verse 31 that says, "Then their eyes were opened and they recognized him." It's that moment when we recognize who Jesus really is. It's that moment when it finally comes together for us. For some of us, if you're like me, I'm a very slow learner. If my mom were here, you could ask her, she would tell you. I'm a very slow learner, and sometimes I need to be reminded over and over and over again, and sometimes I need pieces given to me instead of the whole thing. But I love this story because we all have a part in the walk to Emmaus. Sometimes we're the traveler who is surprised by Jesus. And we get to sit at the feet of Jesus and hear the stories and know the love of God for us. Sometimes I'm the person who doesn't want to believe. Just because of where my mind and my heart is at that time. And I can't wait to get to the point when it says their eyes were opened and they recognized him. Because I truly believe that for all of us who believe in God, there are parts of Christ in all of us. There are times when we become the embodiment of Christ on this earth, and we're leading people to understand the love of God. We're leading people through not always our words. In fact, I believe the saying is true that we preach the gospel at all times, and very seldom do we use the words. We're preaching the gospel each time we live in community with other people. We're preaching the gospel each time we love our family members and encourage them to be the best that they can be. We're preaching the gospel each time we gather together physically and we proclaim the love of God. We proclaim the gospel all the time. Sometimes that kind of feels a little bit like a burden, doesn't it? In the midst of this, these disciples that were walking on this road to Emmaus, and if you remember at the very beginning of the story, about 7 miles from Jerusalem, so they're walking 7 miles. They've got a lot of time to think and talk. For some of us, that's, 7 miles, you know, I think I can do it in half a mile. I don't need to walk all 7 miles. I can really relate. And yet, there was something about that distance. What we know is that each time we see the word seven in scripture, we have to pay close attention because seven is a number of completion. And so seven may not always mean 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. Sometimes it just means the perfection and the completion of the task, however long that takes. If I'm on a walk, I'm hoping it doesn't take 7 whole days, maybe 7 hours. But God knows. In the midst of that, just like these gentlemen, we are operating with very high emotions and sometimes with deep pain. The things that have been told to us or the things that people have described to us as part of our faith walk may or may not always be completely true. It might have been very true for you that's how you had to experience it. But I believe that we serve a God who understands each one of us and what each one of us needs. So sometimes, while our emotions are high or while we are going through deep pains, we understand the nature of faith. And especially, this story reminds us why we need community. It's one of the reasons I believe that churches meet together, that while, especially during the pandemic, when we couldn't physically meet together, we figured out ways to do it because we were created not to be lone people. We were created for community. It's why some of us have gifts that others don't have. So we need each other so that everything can be fulfilled. That's what we are. We are that faith community that need each other. Not need each other like I can't survive without you, but need each other because I need to understand who Jesus is. And I understand more and more as I watch you, as I see what God has done for you and how you can move and act. Maybe it will trigger a memory in my mind that I can say, oh, you know that experience I had when I was 30? That was God. I didn't recognize it at the time, but through the story you just told me, oh, that was God. In the midst of all of the of what was going on with these pilgrims walking to Emmaus, they are also living in the midst of broken dreams. And I'm hard-pressed to know anybody who hasn't had dreams broken, sometimes crushed. It happens to us because of our humanness, because sometimes, well, I speak for myself, because of my selfishness, because of things beyond my nature and beyond what I think. In the midst of that, dreams are broken. When we can choose whether we just collapse and give up or we say, you know, tomorrow's another day. That's a little bit of what Jesus was reminding us. In that transition between the empty tomb and the appearance of Jesus, people did a lot of thinking and trying to understand what was going on. Imagine how they felt when Jesus finally appeared. Maybe it's what happens when we have plans that fall through. Maybe that's what happens when we've been blindsided and we don't know what to do. When we're in the midst of so much sorrow and grief and distress, sometimes we forget that Jesus walks with us, as if we are those pilgrims walking on the road to Emmaus and Jesus is talking to us all the time. But we're so blinded by our own pain or what we thought was going to happen that we don't even recognize that it's Jesus who's with us. In the midst of this story, we are there. Somewhere, each one of us is within this story. Where do you see yourselves? Where do you see yourselves when you're on this road that is leading to hopes and dreams, that is reminding us and reinforcing us and completing us? We are there somewhere. Pastor Shannon Michael Pater from Atlanta, Georgia, reminds us in verse 21 when it said, when the pilgrims said, but we had hoped that he was the one to redeem Israel. Yes, and besides all this, it is now the third day since these things took place. You can almost feel the grief. You can almost feel the pain. And yet, Pastor Shannon says, can faith be found in the midst of the rubbish of our shattered dreams? I think God says yes. I think God reminds us that sometimes it's in that point of grief and despair that we do discover the hope and the joy that comes from Christ. That God created, that God has taught us, and we can stand firm. In the midst of that, we have that same experience as the pilgrims did. Their eyes were opened in the breaking of the bread, and hope emerged. It's one of the reasons that we celebrate Holy Communion, because we want to remember that same experience, and that we want our eyes broken in the breaking of the bread and the receiving of the cup. It's the doorway that God gives us to grace. Jesus enters into it and helps us understand trust and hope, and we have new eyes to live in a new life. I think of people that I have known that have had maybe experiences like the walk to Emmaus, but it doesn't take something that formal. But they've had an encounter with God face to face, and their lives have changed. You can see it in the way they talk to other people, in the way they're interested in more than themselves, in the way that they look with anticipation and look into the eyes of others to see the spark that is Christ living in them. Because I believe that for all of us that have that encounter, we see with new eyes and we have new life. This story reminds us that instead of being in isolation, that God created us to be in community. That God created us to depend on each other and to love each other. And sometimes when we're weary and our eyes are blurry, we need it to be renewed and revived. And it happens in the breaking of the bread. Maybe it's the actual physical breaking of the bread in the communion that we come to. Maybe it's just sometimes it is an emotional breaking of the bread that opens our eyes to the possibility of what God has created us. I don't know if you might have noticed verse 18. It says, "And then one of the people walking on the road, whose name was Cleopas, answered him." Did you notice that they only named one of the disciples who was walking on the road? They only named Cleopas, and yet there were two. As I was reading for this, I was reminded that I've heard this before. What happens? Can we become so vulnerable that we can insert our name as Cleopas's unnamed companion? Could it be us? Could that be the reason that Scripture doesn't give us the name? Because it's all of us. It's all of us at one time or another. And that puts us right in the center of this story. That puts us right on the road, walking and listening to Jesus tell the story. It reminds us that the story of God's redemption is personal. It's not just about what's happened in the past. It's what is going on right now. And so, if we can be so vulnerable to place ourselves in this story as we walk along and realize that Jesus is walking with us, and Jesus is talking to us and sharing and inviting us to be community together, maybe then we also can say, "Did not our hearts burn as the Scriptures were open to us?" On this day and on all of our days, may we remember that Christ will come and walk with us, that Christ will answer all of our questions, maybe not in the words that we wanted or maybe not in the ideas that we wanted, but Jesus also says, even though you're not going to get exactly what you wanted, I'm not leaving you. I am with you always, even to the end of the age. May we remember today and always. Amen and amen.
You've been listening to a podcast from Wabash Presbyterian Church. For more sermons and resources, please visit us at wabashpresbyterian.com.